Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Okay, 1 Nephi chapter 17. We are following the movements of Nephi and his family through the wilderness. Lehi is Nephi's father. He's a prophet. They were all living in Jerusalem about 600 years before the birth of Christ, when Lehi had a vision that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and that he needed to take his family and leave. So they've been journeying through the wilderness to a promised land for a while now. Nephi's oldest two brothers, Laman and Lemuel, are not on board with this trip. They've already tried to kill Nephi a few times, and spoiler alert, they're going to try again in this chapter. Let's get right into verse 1. And it came to pass that we did again take our journey in the wilderness, and we did travel nearly eastward from that time forth. And we did travel and wade through much affliction in the wilderness, and our women did bear children in the wilderness. And so great were the blessings of the Lord upon us, that while we did live upon raw meat in the wilderness, our women did give plenty of suck for their children, and were strong, yea, even like unto the men, and they began to bear their journeyings without murmurings. And thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. And if it so be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he doth nourish them and strengthen them and provide means whereby they can accomplish the thing which he has commanded them. Wherefore, he did provide means for us while we did sojourn in the wilderness. So Nephi is saying here, look how much the Lord blessed us. He blessed us so much that we were able to survive on raw meat. We'll see that his brothers have a slightly different view of the situation later. Verse 4. And we did sojourn for the space of many years, yea, even 8 years in the wilderness. And we did come to the land which we called Bountiful, because of its much fruit and also wild honey. And all these things were prepared of the Lord, that we might not perish. And we beheld the sea, which we called Eriantum, which, being interpreted, is many waters. And it came to pass that we did pitch our tents by the seashore. And notwithstanding, we had suffered many afflictions and much difficulty, yea, even so much that we cannot write them all. We were exceedingly rejoiced when we came to the seashore, and we called the place Bountiful because of its much fruit. Hooray! There's fruit, there's wild honey, no more raw meat, we're on the beach, this is great. Verse 7. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been in the land of Bountiful for the space of many days, the voice of the Lord came unto me, saying, Arise, and get thee into the mountain. And it came to pass that I arose and went up into the mountain, and cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee, that I may carry thy people across these waters. So this is exciting. We're going to build a boat and go across the ocean. As far as we know, Nephi has never built a boat before, so let's see how he responds to this directive. And I said, Lord, whither shall I go that I may find ore to molten, that I may make tools to construct the ship after the manner which thou hast shown unto me? So Nephi is very much a jump and ask how high on the way up sort of guy. Verse 10, And it came to pass that the Lord told me whither I should go to find ore, that I might make tools. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make a bellows wherewith to blow the fire of the skins of beasts. And after I had made a bellows that I might have wherewith to blow the fire, I did smite 2 stones together that I might make fire. For the Lord had not hitherto suffered that we should make much fire as we journeyed in the wilderness. For he said, I will make thy food become sweet, that ye cook it not. And I will also be your light in the wilderness, and I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that ye shall keep my commandments. Wherefore, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall be led toward the land of promise, and ye shall know that it is me that ye are led by. Yea, and the Lord said also that after ye have arrived in the promised land, ye shall know that I, the Lord, am God, and that I, the Lord, did deliver you from destruction, yea, that I did bring you out of the land of Jerusalem. So God's making lots of good promises here. He's made lots of promises, sounds like, as he's been helping them through the wilderness, guiding them to the promised land. Verse 15, Wherefore I, Nephi, did strive to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I did exhort my brethren to faithfulness and diligence. And it came to pass that I did make tools of the ore which I did molten out of the rock. And when my brethren saw that I was about to build a ship, they began to murmur against me, saying, Our brother is a fool, for he thinketh that he can build a ship. Yea, and he also thinketh that he can cross these great waters. And thus my brethren did complain against me, and were desirous that they might not labor, for they did not believe that I could build a ship, neither would they believe that I was instructed of the Lord. So here we have Laman and Lemuel, once again, not believing and not complying. And up to this point, Nephi has delivered a few speeches to these brethren. They're now going to deliver a speech to him. Verse 19. And now it came to pass that I, Nephi, was exceedingly sorrowful because of the hardness of their hearts. And now when they saw that I began to be sorrowful, they were glad in their hearts, insomuch that they did rejoice over me, saying, We knew that ye could not construct a ship, for we knew that ye were lacking in judgment. Wherefore thou canst not accomplish so great a work. And thou art like unto our father, led away by the foolish imaginations of his heart. Yea, he hath led us out of the land of Jerusalem, and we have wandered in the wilderness for these many years. And our women have toiled, being big with child, and they have borne children in the wilderness, and suffered all things, save it were death. And it would have been better that they had died before they came out of Jerusalem than to have suffered these afflictions. So whereas Nephi looks at their situation is like, wow, isn't it great that our women were able to endure and we all survived on raw meat? Look how much the Lord has blessed us. Laman and Lemuel look at it and they just see suffering. Verse 21, Behold, these many years we have suffered in the wilderness, which time we might have enjoyed our possessions in the land of our inheritance. Yea, and we might have been happy. And we know that the people who were in the land of Jerusalem were a righteous people. For they kept the statutes and judgments of the Lord and all his commandments according to the law of Moses. Wherefore we know that they are a righteous people, and our Father hath judged them, and hath led us away because we would hearken unto his words. Yea, and our brother is like unto him. And after this manner of language did my brethren murmur and complain against us. So they're complaining, they're letting it all out, and honestly these are legitimate grievances. I would not be eager to join this particular journey. But now Nephi is going to speech right back at them, and he's going to reference a lot of things from Jewish history. You have to remember, regardless of how you feel about the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, Laman and Lemuel, even though they don't believe in God, accept this as true political history. And so Nephi is going to use that to his advantage here. He's going to talk a lot about the Exodus and what happened afterward. And so let's see how that goes over. Verse 23, And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake unto them, saying, Do ye believe that our fathers, who were the children of Israel, would have been led away out of the hands of the Egyptians, if they had not hearkened unto the words of the Lord? Yea, do ye suppose that they would have been led out of bondage, if the Lord had not commanded Moses that he should lead them out of bondage? Now ye know that the children of Israel were in bondage, and ye know that they were laden with tasks, which were grievous to be borne. Wherefore, ye know that it must needs be a good thing for them that they should be brought out of bondage. Now ye know that Moses was commanded of the Lord to do that great work, and ye know that by his word the waters of the Red Sea were divided hither and thither, and they passed through on dry ground. But ye know that the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, who were the armies of Pharaoh, and ye also know that they were fed with manna in the wilderness. Yea, and ye also know that Moses, by his word, according to the power of God which was in him, smote the rock, and there came forth water, that the children of Israel might quench their thirst. And notwithstanding they being led, the Lord their God, their Redeemer, going before them, leading them by day, and giving light unto them by night, and doing all things for them which were expedient for man to receive, they hardened their hearts and blinded their minds, and reviled against Moses and against the true and living God. And it came to pass that according to his word he did destroy them, and according to his word he did lead them, and according to his word he did do all things for them, and there was not anything done save it were by his word. And after they had crossed the river Jordan, he did make them mighty unto the driving out of the children of the land, yea, unto the scattering them unto destruction. Now, quick side note here, in previous chapters, Nephi had a great vision, and he learned that the Bible would be a thing that the Gentiles would love, and that this record, the Book of Mormon, would encourage people to believe in the Bible and to believe in Jesus Christ. Here's just one more way that the Book of Mormon tells us the Bible is true. You know, Nephi, clearly a prophet, clearly inspired of God, accepts all these stories from Exodus and the books of Moses as true history. And so perhaps we probably should too. Now, this last bit, crossing the Jordan and driving out the people who lived in the land of promise, if you read the Old Testament, it's sort of hard, at least for me as a modern middle-class American man, to accept this idea that God would tell his covenant people to destroy, like wipe out entire nations of people. And yet that happens repeatedly throughout the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And it's sort of shocking and surprising and confusing to someone in my position. But here Nephi is going to teach us some things that the Bible doesn't make clear. In the Bible, it just seems like the covenant people of God are, you know, the best people, and they are permitted and even commanded to destroy everybody else. Nephi gives us some nuance and clarity here that really gives us a very different perspective. Verse 33, "And now do you suppose that the children of this land who were in the land of promise, who were driven out by our fathers, do ye suppose that they were righteous? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Do you suppose that our fathers would have been more choice than they if they had been righteous? I say unto you, nay. Behold, the Lord esteemeth all flesh in one. He that is righteous is favored of God. But behold, this people had rejected every word of God, and they were ripe in iniquity. And the fullness of the wrath of God was upon them. And the Lord did curse the land against them, and bless it unto our fathers. Yea, he did curse it against them unto their destruction, and he did bless it unto our fathers unto their obtaining power over it." So here Nephi is saying that the Jews, the Israelites, they didn't get any sort of preferential treatment here. The people who had been living in the Promised Land had an opportunity to receive the word of God, to be blessed by him, and they had rejected it, and they had rebelled against God, and so the Israelites were brought in to destroy them, to punish them for rejecting God. That's a fascinating insight that perhaps someday we will have records to let us know the other side of that story. But it's worth noting, and this again is a big theme in the Book of Mormon, that God blesses people who believe in him and are righteous, and he punishes those who aren't, and he does not play favorites based on your lineage. Verse 36, "Behold, the Lord hath created the earth that it should be inhabited, and he hath created his children that they should possess it. And he raiseth up a righteous nation, and destroyeth the nations of the wicked. And he leadeth away the righteous into precious lands, and the wicked he destroyeth, and curseth the land unto them for their sakes. He ruleth high in the heavens, for it is his throne, and this earth is his footstool. And he loveth those who will have him to be their God. Behold, he loved our fathers, and he even covenanted with them, yea, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he remembered the covenant which he had made, wherefore he did bring them out of the land of Egypt. And he did straighten them in the wilderness with his rod, for they hardened their hearts, even as ye have. And the Lord straightened them because of their iniquity. He sent fiery flying serpents among them, and after they were bitten, he prepared a way that they might be healed. And the labor which they had to perform was to look, and because of the simpleness of the way, or the easiness of it, there were many who perished. And they did harden their hearts from time to time, and they did revile against Moses, and also against God. Nevertheless, ye know that they were led forth by his matchless power into the land of promise. And now, after all these things, the time has come that they have become wicked, yea, nearly unto ripeness. And I know not but they are at this day about to be destroyed. For I know that the day must surely come that they must be destroyed, save a few only, who shall be led away into captivity." So this gives a nice symmetry, a sort of full circleness to the history of at least the Israelites, and maybe of the whole world, where there were people in the land of promise, they were wicked, they rejected God, so the Israelites came in and destroyed them. And then they were a blessed and prosperous people, but Nephi is saying now they've fallen into rebellion as well. And so God is going to bring in another people to destroy them and take them into captivity, because if you're righteous, you're blessed and prospered in the land, and if you're wicked, you're cut off from the presence of God. Verse 44, "Wherefore the Lord commanded my father that he should depart into the wilderness, and the Jews also sought to take away his life. Yea, and ye also have sought to take away his life. Wherefore ye are murderers in your heart, and ye are like unto them." Here Nephi is really going to let his brothers have it. Verse 45, "Ye are swift to do iniquity, but slow to remember the Lord your God. Ye have seen an angel, and he spake unto you. Yea, ye have heard his voice from time to time, and he has spoken unto you in a still small voice, but ye were past feeling that ye could not feel his words. Wherefore, he has spoken unto you like unto the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake as if it were to divide asunder. And ye also know that by the power of his almighty word, he can cause the earth that it shall pass away. Yea, and ye know that by his word, he can make the rough places to be made smooth, and smooth places shall be broken up. Oh, then why is it that ye can be so hard in your hearts? Behold, my soul is rent with anguish because of you, and my heart is pained. I fear lest ye shall be cast off forever. Behold, I am full of the Spirit of God, insomuch that my frame has no strength." Nephi is upset. Verse 48, And now it came to pass that when I had spoken these words, they were angry with me, and were desirous to throw me into the depths of the sea. And as they came forth to lay their hands upon me, I spake unto them, saying, In the name of the Almighty God, I command you that ye touch me not. For I am filled with the power of God, even unto the consuming of my flesh. And whoso shall lay his hands upon me shall wither, even as a dried reed. And he shall be as naught before the power of God, for God shall smite him. Whoa. Verse 49. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto them that they should murmur no more against their father, neither should they withhold their labor from me, for God had commanded me that I should build a ship. And I said unto them, If God had commanded me to do all things, I could do them. If he should command me that I should say unto this water, Be thou earth, it should be earth, and if I should say it, it would be done. As an aside, Laman and Lemuel should be really grateful God didn't command that, because if they thought the walk through the desert was bad, the walk along the ocean floor would have been way worse. Verse 51, And now if the Lord has such great power, and has wrought so many miracles among the children of men, how is it that he cannot instruct me that I should build a ship? Great speech, Nephi. I really like this one. Verse 52, And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said many things unto my brethren, insomuch that they were confounded, and could not contend against me. Neither durst they lay their hands upon me, nor touch me with their fingers, even for the space of many days. Now they durst not do this, lest they should wither before me, so powerful was the Spirit of God, and thus it had wrought upon them. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, Stretch forth thine hand again unto thy brethren, and they shall not wither before thee, but I will shock them, saith the Lord. And this will I do, that they may know that I am the Lord their God. And it came to pass that I stretched forth my hand unto my brethren, and they did not wither before me, but the Lord did shake them, even according to the word which he had spoken. And now they said, We know of a surety that the Lord is with thee, for we know that it is the power of the Lord that has shaken us. And they fell down before me and were about to worship me, but I would not suffer them, saying, I am thy brother, yea, even thy younger brother. Wherefore worship the Lord thy God, and honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God shall give me. It's interesting, we'll see this a few times in the Book of Mormon. There are people who are stalwart in their disbelief in God, and they can see lots of miracles. You can show them all kinds of stuff, like Laman and Lemuel, they've seen angels, they've heard the voice of God, lots of miracles, but they don't believe. And then the Lord shocks them, and they viscerally feel some sort of pain or something, and then they believe. And in later chapters, we'll see stories where people are struck dumb or those sorts of things, and it seems, you know, people can deny a lot of things, like, oh, an angel, maybe just sleight of hand, maybe some guy in a costume, but like, when you feel something inside yourself, that's how you really know, wow, this is not fake. So that's the end of that chapter. In the next chapter, the ship is going to be finished, and we're going to go sailing.